Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Poway, California, Christchurch, New Zealand, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Just the most recent in a growing list of deadly attacks on people as they pray in synagogues and mosques. This week, the Anti-Defamation League reported violent anti-Semitic attacks in this country doubled in 2018, even as overall attacks, including vandalism and harassment, remain near record high levels. In light of the increasing violence and hate, many Muslim and Jewish community leaders are joining together, working together, and uniting against hate. And such an effort is being launched in Southeast Michigan with the very first steps to forming a Muslim-Jewish advisory council. With us now is David Kurzman. He's executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council and American Jewish Committee. David, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Good to have you here. And we want to welcome Dr. Muzamil Ahmed, who is an executive board member of the Michigan Muslim Community Council. Dr. Ahmed, welcome.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
These horrific incidents have happened in other parts of the country, but there have been, we had a bombing threat in Benton Harbor aimed at a mosque there. How have you two and your respective communities in Southeast Michigan been experiencing the rise in anti-Semitism and Islamophobia? Dr. Ahmed?
We're very fortunate in Southeast Michigan in that we have a very diverse community. I think that generally people get along very well and there's been no direct threats, but we are concerned, as anybody who attends places of worship, maybe that the rise of white nationalism, the rise of hatred, the rise of extreme rhetoric is causing people to take really violent actions, and you see some of the consequences around us.
And David, how about the Jewish community in Southeast Michigan?
So, yes, we are feeling this intimately, and thankfully, as Muzamil said, we haven't experienced this in our own backyard, but our community feels very small when you look at the national Jewish community, and we are indeed a community in mourning after yet another attack on a synagogue 6 months to the day after the horrific massacre, the largest attack ever, the largest casualties ever in the Jewish community in the history of this country. And we know we're not alone. These events in terms of Christchurch and other places where minorities have been victimized, and in particular in houses of worship, it's staggering. And at this time, we are calling on all people to stand together. And that's what we're doing as an organization as we reach out to our friends in the Muslim community.
And in what ways? What does that look like with the two of you? How have you been working together through the years?
Well, we've been very fortunate in that we've had longstanding relationships for many years and doing many projects together in this area. And so there's a lot of trust and a lot of strong, deep relationships. And we have, with these newer events, in addition to just expressing solidarity, sharing strategies and ideas on working together to just improve understanding between the communities and approach our leaders and finding ways to decrease the level of extreme rhetoric.
Yeah, I would just add that this is actually not a new effort, and I wouldn't want your listeners to think that this is just a response to this rise in hate. It's an effort we've been after for quite some time. We did a study 5 years ago in partnership with the University of Michigan Dearborn, which indicated that the Muslim and Jewish communities wanted to get to know each other better, but just didn't have enough opportunities to do so. And so our two organizations in partnership have been really working throughout the year over the course of 5 years, and the relationship building started before that. Volunteer efforts, educational programming, shared cultural and religious experiences, so that we can get to know each other better, as there's far more that we have in common than what might divide us.
And it seems as though you're taking all of this progress and with the process of taking it to a new level as you begin the work of forming this Muslim-Jewish Advisory Council. What would be the goals of this council? What would it look like, Dr. Ahmed?
We really want to focus on local issues and local challenges that we're facing. Again, the misunderstandings that occur locally, the hatred that seems to be rising, working on hate crime laws, working on ways to improve dialogue between communities. We want to avoid other issues that might be more contentious, but locally, I think as neighbors and as fellow community members, we have a lot in common that we can work on.
I would add to that that we are so fortunate to be following a model that actually exists nationally, where our global affiliate, the American Jewish Committee, AJC, in partnership with ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, they launched a national Muslim Jewish Advisory Council. And it's a very impressive group of business, political, and religious leaders who have been working together on two issues in particular. One is combating the rise in hate crimes. And also, their second effort has been around promoting more positive images of both communities. We know that stereotypes out there are quite pernicious, and that this hatred, it doesn't come out of nowhere, and that people have views, anti-Semitic views, Islamophobic views, racist views, and so forth, and that it's really incumbent upon community leaders to address this head-on and to elevate the stories of the people themselves, not the caricature or stereotype that might be depicted by those who have some nefarious agenda.
How often do political disagreements come up between Michigan's Muslim and Jewish communities? And how do you address those, Dr. Ahmed?
We have built years of sustained relationship. I think when people may have different political views, you get through that by building trust, working on other projects where we have mutual interest. So just working in Southeast Michigan, focusing on improving the community. We've done annual projects around the holiday time. We've really had some meaningful things that we've done together, and that's built the trust where you can have harder conversations about hotter topics. But there's so much to do locally in our own community, working on anti-hate and uplifting the community, that the other political things that occur overseas are not as big of an issue.
David, what does that work look like on the ground? What are some of the things you could point to where you know that definitely progress has been made in bringing these communities together?
This all begins with relationship building, and it's about creating more connection between the two communities. Muzamil pointed to our annual service together, that we spend Christmas Day volunteering side by side at social service sites across Metro Detroit. And when we do learning together, bringing professors from Wayne State University from both communities to share sort of the commonalities, whether it's around immigration or around the forms of hate that we may be facing, chances to share our stories and to identify so much of what unites us and that we have so much in common. When we in the Jewish community visit our local mosque and become comfortable there, we find that the mosque in many ways feels like our own synagogue. And we need to increase those engagements and interactions. And we are blessed because we have that opportunity here in Metro Detroit. Not every community has the diversity of an area like ours, and we really need to take advantage of that. It's precisely what I believe we're doing.
As you look at the events unfolding in our country and around the world, and meditate on those and pray on those, what do you believe is fueling this rise in hatred?
I think that from the top down, our leadership in the country has taken on language that is in some ways very encouraging division. It's inciting people, and there's a lack of nuance and discussion. Unfortunately, on the local level, people are not connecting with the neighbors as much, and there's a lot more isolation. So we hope that the work that we do brings people together and gets everyone a chance to have more discussions and dialogue and break down some of that misunderstanding.
David, it strikes me that as you talk about coming together face-to-face and dialogue, it is an antidote to what we're seeing happen on social media.
No doubt that the human connection here is critical. And yes, there's this issue of social isolation. There's an issue, I think, of people with extreme views who are finding places in the dark corners of the internet to validate those views and to join together. It's very hard to pin down hate and to eradicate hate. It's a very stubborn thing. I mean, we're most familiar with that in the Jewish community. Is, you know, anti-Semitism is often regarded as the oldest form of hatred, and typically it's sort of that canary in the coal mine for other forms of hate that might follow. So, you know, as a country, we have to rise above this. It's tragic and heartbreaking heartbreaking that incidents are being called just by the location that they took place. So Charlottesville is sort of a household name. Why? Because you saw neo-Nazis marching through the streets. Well, that's not the America that I think most of us believe in. And I think that people of good faith and goodwill are able to overcome this. And it starts by connecting the people who feel that way. Sometimes in difficult times, we can seal ourselves off and sort of separate from the rest of the community. I think the message of Muslim-Jewish relations is just the opposite. We have to reach out to our neighbor, and that those connections can hopefully bring a brighter future.
How soon do you think you'll have, will it be until you have the Muslim-Jewish Advisory Council up and running? I know you're in the very early stages of it.
We're going to be busy working on that over the summer, and I think we're hopeful to have a public launch sometime in the fall. In the meantime, we are continuing to do the activities that we're so proud of: volunteerism, education, interfaith iftar during the holy month of Ramadan that is soon upon us. There's quite a lot of activity keeping our two communities busy, and no doubt we will be doing our best to keep people at the table.
David Kurzman and Dr. Musmil Ahmed, who are working to form a Muslim-Jewish Advisory Council in Southeast Michigan. We want to thank both of you for taking time to talk with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.